Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Last hour of the week. Welcome in to the party festival. Next Friday, it'll be all about summer. Right now, it's all about the Schaefer. Mike Schaefer from Husker 24/7 joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Mike J.
Oh, that was awful serious.
Yeah, good morning, serious gentlemen.
Guy that is about to go on vacation, I believe, this afternoon, right?
Yeah, I'm actually currently packing the car.
What fancy trip you taking this time, money bags?
Oh, hey, Damon, listen to where he's going with Shelby.
Yeah, today I am driving as far west as time and weather will allow, trying to get to as close to Boise, Idaho as possible. And then we're going from Boise to, I'm guessing it's a tourist trap town called McCall, Idaho. And then Missoula, then Bozeman, then Deadwood, then back to Nebraska at some point around Memorial Day weekend.
Wow. What do you want to do? Just see, like, natural sights or?
You know, I was thinking about it. This reminds me a lot of the vacations I took as a kid where there wasn't really, like, a purpose. It was basically to just get in the car and remind yourself that there's stuff outside of Nebraska. I've never been to Boise. I've heard lots of good things, so excited about that. Parker Gabriel, if you might remember him, you know, current Denver Broncos beat reporter Parker Gabriel. He used to live in Bozeman, and he's given me quite a few recommendations for that area. And then we may try to hit Glacier National Park. It's going to be kind of difficult schedule-wise, but we'll see. And then, obviously, it's just kind of to get out there because I've been in Idaho a little bit. I've never been in Montana, so that's the one state west of Nebraska I've never been to. So checking off a box a little bit on top of it.
Played indoor in Montana. Enjoy that 20-hour drive. I think Boise's at least 18.
You,
my neighbor is from Montana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if your neighbor has recommendations, we'll take.
Oh, I owe you recommendations in Montana. I've told you this. The air, the three times I've been to Montana, the air is unbelievable.
Yeah, we have a P1 that sent us some gear, some Grizzlies gear. So maybe he'll hit us up.
All right. I could ask
AJ Forbes.
Yeah, you could.
Right, he's familiar.
Yeah. Before you go on vacation, we got questions. We were discussing before we brought you on, because by the time you come back, the Big Ten in 2023 may look entirely different with no divisions, how you get to the championship game, all of those things with a new television contract. If I told you today, beginning in 2023, Nebraska would make it to the Big Ten championship game once every 7 or 8 years, is that acceptable?
No, I think you'd like to get there more than that, but at the same time, at the current rate that they're at right now, I think once every 8 years would sound pretty good. Trying to think. So in the time of which they've had conference championship games, Nebraska's made
one,
six of them. Well, no, I'm talking like going back.
Big 12.
Six, I think.
So 96, 97, 99,
01.
06, 09, 12. So I had six that I could think of.
Not 01, that's right.
No one, yeah.
That's what they got in on the. Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, six, yeah. Sounds right.
So let's say, so that's basically six over
28 years.
Year stretch. Yeah. So, I mean, frankly, it's hard for me to see them doing much better than that. Over that span, so that comes out to be in one every, you know,
almost
5 years or whatever. Yeah. So I would say, you know, the expectation should be a little bit better than one every 8 years, but not substantially better than that. I'd say one every five would be really good. Honestly, I think it would be, especially if they get rid of division, because then you're going to have earned your way there more than likely. So if you're doing that every 5 years, I would say that's a pretty good indication that Nebraska's got a healthy program.
Mike J., where do you come out? I'm one of those guys that you go no divisions, you better figure out what to do with a conference title game. I don't think you need a conference title game if you have a round-robin schedule. You will not have a round-robin schedule in the Big Ten. How would you parse through that?
Yeah, I've been anti-conference championship game, anti-division for a while, but I don't see any way that you get rid of the conference championship game from a money standpoint and from a television network standpoint. So I think, I mean, I'm fine if they were to go to a pod system where you have kind of the three teams that you pretty much play and then you rotate the schedule relatively evenly after that. I would be okay with it. I think that generally at this point, the division system just props up a set of schools that aren't playing as well as Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State. I mean, Wisconsin every so often deserves to be in that conversation. Iowa's had an odd year every now and then where maybe they do. Nebraska could be in that, and hasn't for a while. But, I mean, Northwestern's represented the Big Ten West 2 out of the last 4 years. It's not a program that I think of is one of the two best in the Big Ten. I'm fine with it. Like, if Ohio State and Michigan were to play twice in back-to-back weeks, like, is it ideal? Maybe not. Would it be dramatic, and would you want to watch? Absolutely. And would it be better for the conference? I think it would. So I would rather teams that deserve to play each other go there on the merit of their own season than trying to determine it based off of who played who and who got to avoid Ohio State in the Big Ten West. And is it a down year for Graham Mertz and all these kinds of things that really have dictated it in the last 5 years?
So you hate narratives?
I don't hate narratives. Okay. I operate narratives. I traffic narratives.
Mike Schaefer from Husker 24/7 joining us. A busy weekend for Nebraska. Now setting up for a busy month of June with unofficials and officials that are being locked in. People are going to get to know a Doss, a Green, an Edwards, a Washington. Maybe somebody else pops up this weekend. Of moving forward in the next, let's say, 3 weeks, Schaefer, recruiting-wise, who is one player that you are excited about that they've locked in an official that you're not only excited about, that has your attention, that they could commit to the class of 23?
Yeah, there's a handful. And it starts right away this weekend. I actually think this has kind of become a huge visit weekend. I mean, Caden Green himself might be the number one target for Nebraska in 2023 or right there with a few other guys at the top of the board. That's a huge offensive lineman where I think Nebraska's chances are slightly better than what you're going to get from hearing from the national folks. But I think Nebraska's a dark horse in his recruitment. It seems like everybody wants to pencil in Oklahoma, but I know from talking with Caden Green and I know from the people around him, Nebraska had a hell of an unofficial visit for him in March, and I suspect that there's some real NIL conversation happening there, too. And we're talking about a guy that would be the equivalent of getting a Turner Corcoran in the 2020 class, that kind of upside offensive lineman, someone that you would expect to come in and play for you at a cornerstone position relatively early in his career. Obviously, for both Ben Hart and Corcoran, that hasn't quite happened how Nebraska fans would want, but that doesn't mean you stop recruiting high-end offensive lineman like that. So Caden Green, you know, kicks it off right there pretty big. Mm-hmm. And then one of the guys that kind of fits the parameters that Gary laid out, I really like Jaden Doss. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch his film. I don't know, if you guys have paid much attention to him. I think he's a really talented athlete out of the Kansas City area. I think Nebraska has to land a couple kids from Kansas City. I think they're with intent going hard in that area this current cycle and hopefully beyond, in part because of Bill Bush and because I think they've recognized they've really let it slip there. But more than just being from there, Jaden Doss is the kind of kid that, you know, Nebraska had not been able to make this duck R thing work in the way that they wanted. And and it doesn't even have to be a duck R. Like, remove that label. Jaden Doss is an offensive athlete that can line up as a running back, as a slot wide receiver. He can split him out wide. And he said that schools have really kind of pitched him hard on being a Deebo Samuel type for the college game. And so I think that that's a really intriguing skill set for the offense that Mark Whipple is going to run. I think that's an intriguing skill set for just college football in general. And I just look at him as a guy that, you know, you look at his body build, you look at how he plays, he's got a little power, he's got plenty of speed. He can help as a kick returner, as a punt returner. He's just the kind of guy that in the 500-mile radius, frankly, Nebraska has the sort of, you know, cachet and wants to have the kind of offense to highlight kids like that. They should get people like Jaden Dawson. Dylan Edwards fits in that conversation, too. And so I'm a little less enamored with him from a size perspective. But I think that Dylan Edwards is really interesting. He's not going to be a traditional running back. So, you know, if they were to get that commitment, it wouldn't preclude them from taking somebody else at the running back spot. Similar offensive athlete profile. Same kind of thing. He comes from the Wichita area instead of Kansas City. And so all three of those high school guys, super interesting.
We love Derby.
What was that?
We love Derby.
Yeah, well, I have spent some time in Wichita both because of trains and junior colleges. So
my buddy's wife is from Derby.
Okay. All right. Well, so is Alex Kahn, the guy that I think people wonder is still on the roster sometimes. Well,
I thought it was Len too. It's one of those. I'm being sarcastic. Shafe, let me ask you something though.
Is he on the roster?
You're not reading into, or you are going from unofficials to officials? Like in the case of a guy like Edwards and how closely connected he and Bush are?
Honestly, it's hard to say because Ashley Williams has had the same kind of confusing thing where he told me it was an official visit, then he told Brunt it was an unofficial visit, and then 2 days ago he tweeted out that it is an official visit. I think that, you know, Nebraska must have said something because I heard last week before this had gotten set up in terms of an official visit, that it was still unclear if they'd be one of the five schools that he'd use an official on, especially because he's been up here several times. He's been to a game day. He was coming up that weekend. So something in that conversation must have clicked where, you know, they decided they wanted to go ahead and use this as an official visit. I think Nebraska is very much in the mix for Edwards, more so than maybe even Oklahoma, where he's being projected by people. So I would definitely keep an eye on that recruitment for sure.
I didn't know whether to be mortified or encouraged. I told the story briefly. I didn't go into detail because I didn't want to put the two high schools on blast. But at the Glazier Clinic in February? When I went up there, that a couple of those high school coaches were telling me that it is good to see Nebraska in the area again, right? And I was just thinking, I want to be encouraged. It's kind of sad to hear, you know, but it has paid immediate dividends, at least in terms of, networking again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's important for Nebraska to be visible in those kind of populous centers, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. I like their strategy that they've kind of undergone in the last 18 months that they've really, you know, the pandemic probably spurred some of this on, but they're not recruiting outside the 500-mile radius. I just think they're putting more of an emphasis on it, and I think they're more okay if the bulk of their class comes from there instead of trying to spot recruit in areas. And especially, you know, as the transfer portal becomes more prolific, you could really argue sometimes there's just no value in taking a kid from Hawaii. I mean, maybe 1 out of 10 times Wyndon Hohuli goes the way that you want it to, but I feel like 6 out of 10 times you're going to get a transfer, and who knows with the other three, injury or whatever else. So sometimes, spot recruiting in areas like Georgia and Florida where kids kind of have to leave because they can't stay that close all the time, that makes a lot of sense. Texas makes sense in that regard. You could argue New Jersey either way, but they have some strong connections there. But the rest of it really does need to come from right near area or in Big Ten country, because I just think with the transfer portal and the way that goes, I mean, it doesn't mean you're not going to have guys leave, but you have a better chance of keeping them, I think, if they're a Midwest kid to start with.
Mike Schaefer on loan from Husker 24/7 joining us. I remember a conversation on our weekly visit. We were talking recruiting, and we've talked a lot about the St. Louis area. And Marcus Washington's name came up as Nebraska was recruiting him out of Trinity Catholic. He ended up going to Texas. He's here this weekend. He can play in 22. Do you think Nebraska looks at him as a replacement for Xavier Betts? Is he somebody that is a number wide receiver two, wide receiver three option? Take me inside of the room on how Nebraska is approaching Marcus Washington if he has a good visit and says yes to Nebraska and joins the team for 22.
There's a part of me that wonders if this isn't just an exploratory thing. Like, hey, let's get this guy here. We'll see if, you know, he measures out how we want. We'll see if his personality fits. I think a big thing is figuring out, is Marcus Washington okay coming to Nebraska if he's not going to be a highlighted wide receiver? Because, frankly, I have some doubts that he steps in and he's immediately a top four wide receiver on campus. So the idea that he could be that, I'm a little skeptical of. I mean, so I think you really want to make sure a kid like that understands what the role is actually available to him. Because, frankly, I think that he would have more of a Levi Fouts-type impact than he would, you know, Samari Toure. So, you know, is he comfortable with that? And will the room be comfortable with that? I mean, those are the sort of things that I would be trying to figure out if you're bringing a kid in this late and you know, the expectations of someone like Marcus Washington are going to be much larger than if you're, you know, going and getting somebody else at this stage. So I really think Nebraska has to do due diligence on that.
Quick one here. Yesterday, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, were both right or were both wrong?
I don't know who's right and who's wrong. I think it's really funny that we're in this kind of mudslinging thing over the idea of athletes getting paid. Like, it's like somehow on a personal affront to the honor of Jimbo Fisher that he was able to secure, or that he presides over a program that secured money through its boosters for athletes, which is going to become commonplace the further we go along. I mean, I think about some of the comments that guys like John Calipari and Nick Saban have made in the last 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, Calipari basically insinuated that, like, Baylor Shireman was asking for the world because he knew his value as a player. And he reacted like this was some sort of thing he could never cross as an individual from an ethics standpoint. And you sit there and you scratch your head and you're like, really? You? And Nick Saban kind of doing the same thing. Like, you're going to tell me that not a single player in the 2022 class had any NIL offer money? None. Like, this is what Nick Saban's trying to present to the world. So I don't know. They got to be careful because, yes, you preside over these big programs that often can recruit themselves. But in the world in which kids notice and watch everything you do, if you present yourself as someone who's just fundamentally opposed to the idea that athletes make money, you might want to just leave the sport because this is where we're headed. And, oh, by the way, they made money when they couldn't legally too. So it's just this holier than thou attitude that I really don't appreciate from people who should know better.
Hey, real quick, Mike, if you're, could be 2022, could be 2023. Was there anybody that left the track and field arena yesterday that you're like, yep, that's the guy that I'm most excited about on the gridiron?
Well, we haven't talked a lot about him, and he's transferring over to Westside. I know I shot you a text, Damon. But Jalen Lloyd is really interesting to me for a couple different reasons. One, I kind of want to see how he's used because that's a sort of a dynamic weapon that can really open up things for everybody else in the offense. Two, I don't know that football is his future, but I've gotten the sense that he would want it to be his future.
Very perceptive.
He's a really, really good track athlete. Like, he's going to have chances to go to some of the top schools in the country, I would think, from a track and field standpoint. So, you know, his recruitment, like, could he be one of those actual do both kind of guys? Like, how is this potentially going to work? Because I think his football offers are going to come in well beneath where he could go and do track. I'm sure Nebraska is going to continue to monitor the athleticism, but he jumps off the page. I'm curious what's going to happen with Benny here in Lincoln High. He had a really nice day. You know, he's an incredible athlete. He's one of the few guys that we haven't heard yet for official visit wise. It feels like Nebraska has, you know, a dozen wide receiver targets that they are in good situation with. So where does he kind of fit? I mean, I think we know sort of Malachi Coleman at this point. We know he's an outstanding athlete. And then, of course, you know, Carter Nelson, who was pointed out to me on the sidelines before a game and basically was like, yeah, this guy's going to get an offer down the line and, you know, keep an eye on him. Like, he's someone else. It's just a really, really good athlete for people to keep an eye on, I think, in the 2025 class.
What about, you know, it's funny, too, about Jalen Lloyd. He's actually a good basketball player, too. Well, he once upon a time, he's kind of gotten away from it, but, you know, played against and with him when he was in elementary and then middle school, and he was going to try to do all three sports at Central. But what about Bramer?
What about Bramer?
Like, I mean, does he pique your interest as a guy that, you know, has already said yes to Nebraska and you're looking to say, like, all right, what's portable that I see on the track versus the football field and how those two worlds meet?
I already was pretty high on Bramer, to be honest. I mean, he runs pretty well. He's going to have to put on weight. Hopefully they do it in a slower, steadier progression than what we've seen for Fedoni, because I think that's been part of his issue with those injuries. And so then, you know, I already have kind of high aspirations for Bramer, who I think a lot of people have forgotten about. And the fact that he goes to Pierce doesn't help, because it's just kind of easy to sort of not pay him a lot of attention. But this was a guy that I think if he was in a more population dense area, like if he was at Millard West, just to use a school as an example, same measurables, same ability, I think there would be a lot of talk about Ben Bramer from different schools in the Midwest. But because he committed early, because he's at Pierce, because, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of expectation that he's just going to blow the doors off and he's not going to show up at a camp and go earn, you know, whatever, an invite somewhere. I just don't think people talk about him. But everyone I heard when he was, you know, coming up, before he'd even picked up the offer, was talking to me about how he was further along at the same point in their timeline than Thomas Fedoni. And even Fedoni himself told me, like, this is a guy I'm super impressed by. Look at his catch radius. Look at his athleticism. He's effortless in how he moves. It's a fluid route runner who's going to, you know, probably transition to tight end. He's got a lot that he's going to have to work on in terms of being a blocker, I'm sure. But there's a lot of athleticism there that I'm guessing people don't realize, because he's pretty easy to forget.
Shafe, have a safe trip with you and your wife on your vacation, and we'll look for pictures and stories and bears.
Couple of screenshots of filling up for gas will be all right, too.
Beer, bears and moose?
Yeah, I will. I'll see if I can find a nice moose to take a photo with Shelby and I, and get that over to you guys.
You don't strike me as a gun guy. Do you have a slingshot in case it jumps off, or, like, what are we doing there?
I do not. I mean, I think I am smart enough and have been to Yellowstone enough times to know that I'm not going to get out of the car and put myself in harm's way so I can get a better photo with my Nikon. So I'm not too worried about that.
Not all bears are like Yogi.
All right. Thanks, Shafe.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Shane, if you're listening, I will not pick up the phone next Friday.
Shane says thank you. We say thank you.
Oh,
yes, for people that were wondering, that was the Mickey Joseph standing near the starting blocks yesterday.
Mickey Joseph.
He was just there as a track and field fan, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He likes track and field.
He does.
Just happens to be the wide receiver coach at Nebraska and recruiting this area. Matt Verzal, recruiting Damon's son, comes up next on Sharp Betting in the Morning.
Your Omaha area forecast from Canoe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.